Proverbs 15. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. We'll look at this proverb tonight. Father in heaven, Lord God, we come before you tonight and we thank you, Father, for your grace and mercy upon our lives. We thank you, Lord God, that you love us with an everlasting love. And Lord God, I pray that as we sung tonight, that we would love you more with the love wherewith ye have loved us. Father, tonight we ask and pray that you'd help us understand what it means to fear the Lord. I pray that you'd minister to our hearts. I pray, Lord God, that we would be endued with wisdom from the Proverbs to know and understand, Lord God, what pleases you. Help us to be a people that are always sensitive to your ways. Help us to be a people, Father, that would always love the book, your word. And help us to be a people, dear God, that would follow you, no turning back. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says there in Proverbs 15, verse 16, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. The proverb is saying that it's better to have little or to be poor with the fear of the Lord than to be wealthy or have riches or treasures and have trouble therewith. Many households, homes, churches, families, marriages simply have trouble because they lack the fear of God in their life. And the reason so many people don't have the peace of God in their life, in their hearts, in their homes, is because they do not fear the Lord the way they should. Proverbs 9 verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. That's a good place to start. That's what the Bible says. It's a good place to start to have a fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of one being wise, doing the right thing. No Christian will ever grow to know the will of God without having a fear of God. No Christian will ever know the will of God without having a fear of God. And we're going to come to know and understand what that means. Because saying that I have a fear for the Lord and actually living out the fear of God is two different things. Psalm 25 verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that what? Fear him. And he will show them his covenant. There's a principle that we can get from here that God will reveal his ways, his wisdom, his will to those that fear him. Okay, and one of the reasons why the thief on the cross heard the words, today you'll be with me in paradise, was the very fact that he began to fear the Lord. Remember where the other thief was starting mocking the Lord, and he says, don't you fear God? So somewhere on that cross he began to think and realize, and the fear of God began to get a hold of his heart, and he responded well. Don't you fear God, he said, seeing thou art in the same condemnation. So what is the fear of the Lord? Remember, this is the very thing that the devil was accusing God was accusing Job to God, was saying, remember this, that Job fears, does Job fear you for naught? You know, is Job fearing you? So he didn't mention all the other different things. So the fear of God there is almost the foundational, truth of having a holy hatred for sin. That's how you get a holy hatred for sin. When you have a fear of God. And that's what it says here in Proverbs 8:13. Look at this. The fear of the Lord is to hate what? Evil. Five things here. Pride, arrogancy, and the evil way. Listen, and the froward mouth, I do hate. Hate's it's a strong word. And this means if you are going to hate evil, that means you have to love righteousness. Love righteousness. The fear of the Lord is simply to hate what God hates. Okay, so the fear of the Lord has this moral aspect. It's to hate evil, all kinds of evil, evil thoughts, words, actions, to hate pride. When a person thinks highly of themselves, has an element of self-sufficiency, he hates arrogancy, to be puffed up, rude, stubborn, self-righteous, not teachable, arrogant, proud, come to the point where you can't teach that person anymore. Pride and arrogancy, by the way, are the opposite of humility. And that's why the Bible says here in Proverbs 22 verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are what? Riches, honor, and life. These are true riches, by the way. And to hate the evil way, the evil in the world, the evil in others, the evil in my own life, to hate it. You know, we're told by Jude that when we go out and have compassion, making a difference in the life of people, pulling them out of the fire, he says this, hating even the garments that are spotted by the flesh. There ought to be a holy hatred for sin, not only in the world, but in the lives of people and also in our lives. This is what the fear of the Lord is. It's a holy, healthy hatred of evil, sin, wickedness. To hate the froward mouth, a mouth that speaks perverse things, corrupt communication, the mouth that causes division, trouble, a mouth that backbites, tale bears, slanders, bears false witness. All this is a froward mouth. It works ruin. And to have the fear of the Lord is to hate it. I hate this little thing in my mouth that causes damage. That's the fear of God. That's to have the fear of the Lord, is to hate evil. You know, when you slip up the tongue and you do things and you speak perverse things, and by the way, we can as Christians, because once a person gets in the flesh, man, oh, forget it. And when we do, we ought to hate it. We ought to hate it. Proverbs 16, verse 6, by the fear of the Lord, look at this, men depart from evil. Joseph is a good testimony of this. Remember when Potiphar wanted to tempt Joseph and lie with him? What did he say to her? He said, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against Potiphar? No, he said, sin against God. You know, the sins that we may do may affect others and maybe an offense to others, but listen, every sin that we do, whether it's offensive to others or not, it breaks God's heart. If we think of that, if we think about the sins that, you know, we're tempted with is going to break God's heart, then we have the fear of the Lord. And this is the very thing that helped him depart from evil. Joseph was able to resist such evil because he feared the Lord. He feared God. He was more concerned about what God thought. And I think we should have that concern in our own life. The fear of the Lord has a moral aspect, but also the fear of the Lord has an obeying aspect. Go to Proverbs chapter 2. Have a look at Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, look at verse 1 to 5. Proverbs 2, look at verse 1 to 5. My son, look at these conditions. There's about three conditions over here. I don't want you to miss it. If you have a marker, just look at the words if here. My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, if, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart unto to understanding. Look at this. And if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, another one in verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, what's that word? Then shalt thou understand the what? The fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. See this attitude that he wants us to have in desiring to obey the word of God and seek the wisdom of God. This is the very thing that this attitude has when you fear the Lord. When you fear the Lord, you'll have this attitude. And you'll understand it more and more that you want to go after the will of God. You want to go after the wisdom of God. You want God's word. You want to obey it. You want to receive it. You want it in your heart. You want to know it. You want to live it. Everything. If, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord. It's a developing attitude that begins. The fear of the Lord is an attitude in your heart saying, I want to fear God. I don't want to displease him. But it's developing and it's growing. And it has this obeying element. If I fear God, I will obey God. If I obey God, that means I fear God. And so when we seek after the wisdom and word with our whole heart, then and only then, we can continue to develop and understand the fear of God. And the psalmist said in Psalm 34, He says, come and I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. Come and I'll teach you. And so Psalm 112, verse 1 and 2, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that what? Feareth the Lord. Look at this. That delighteth casually in his commandments. Does it say that? No. I love this word. That delighteth greatly. There needs to be a great delight in the Word of God. A great embracing, if you will. I want to know what God says so I can obey it. That's the fear of God. It's not only for knowledge, but it's knowledge to understand what pleases God for me to please Him. I want to please Him. And if I want to please Him, I want to obey Him. Greatly with this desire in my heart, greatly delighteth in His commandments. It's not an ordinary keeping of the word. It's a great delight. To have this fear of the Lord is to go after the word of the Lord in a passionate way. Look at verse 2. His seed shall be mighty upon earth, and the generation of the upright shall be blessed. And I think it's a very imperative that we will walk in front of our children to fear God this way. And that's something that we don't want to be hypocritical in. We want to make sure that we live holy lives in the home. And we detest evil in the home. Abraham is a perfect example of this. Genesis chapter 22, God said to Abraham to take Isaac, his only son, he says specifically, whom thou lovest, and get thee into a land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering. There was a commandment there. He says, take Isaac, whom you love, and offer him to me as a sacrifice. It's a commandment. Whom you love. And I love what Abraham did. In verse 3, the Bible says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. Didn't waste any time. Didn't know ifs, no buts. No, why, after all these years, you give me a son and you want him back? No. He obeyed the voice of God. That's the fear of the Lord. I said, listen, that's the fear of the Lord. When you obey the voice of God, when you hear the word of God and you obey it, that's the fear of the Lord. And you know, God recognized it. Have a look at Genesis 22, verse 12. Look at this. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad. This is when he was about to sacrifice him. He lifted up his hand to do it. He said, neither do thou anything unto him. Look at this. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Wow. And by the way, that's a good indication that any time that we have any children, we put them on the altar and we say, God, they're for you. They're all yours. I'm willing at any time you want them, for whatever reason, I'm here it is. Yeah. By the way, anything that you set your heart on and that you love, you say, Lord, I want to give it to you. And you know, this is a demonstration of the fear of God, that you're willing. By the way, it has to do with your love toward God, that you love God more than the very thing that God has given you. And that's the very test that Job went through, didn't he? That he proved that he honored and loved God more than the very things that God gave him. Now, the fear of the Lord not only has this obeying aspect and a moral aspect, but thirdly, the fear of the Lord has this trusting aspect. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 to 7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? He shall direct thy paths. Look at verse 7. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Listen, to fear the Lord is to trust the Lord. To trust the Lord is to fear the Lord. And to trust the Lord means I don't lean upon my own wisdom or understanding. And to trust the Lord means I acknowledge him. In every decision I make, every step I make, I acknowledge the Lord in all my ways. And there's a promise, by the way, there. What's the promise? And he shall direct my paths. There's a promise The fear of the Lord brings about many benefits, and we'll see that in a moment. But what I'm trying to say is this, that the fear of the Lord is not being wise in our own eyes. Not trying to lean or rest upon our own wisdom. We don't really have much. The wisdom that we have comes from God. And we need more wisdom. For every decision we make, every step that we take, you know, to lean upon our own understanding and to trust in our own conceit, to see things in our own eyes, demonstrates a lack of faith in God and self-sufficiency. It's a sense of pride, relying upon our own judgment rather than trusting the Lord in all things. You know, by the way, God knows all things. Amen. And He knows what's ahead. He's the omnipotent, omniscient God, the all-knowing God. And so therefore, it would be wise for me to trust Him. But I cannot trust Him if I do not fear Him. I must fear the Lord. And that means there needs to be a sense of humility in saying, Lord, I don't know it all. You know it all. And I'm trusting You. And I, even though I don't understand it all, because I fear You. I think a good example was Noah. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Look at this. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not what? Seen. As yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Perfect example. Perfect example. Not only he obeyed the word of God, but what did he do? He trusted the word of God even though he didn't know what was coming. He believed it by faith. And so there's an element there. By faith. Trusting the Lord is to fear God, keep His word, and eschew all evil or anything that comes against God's word. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? This is just a brief comment. There's a whole heap of other passages of scripture we can look into. We just don't have the time. But why is the fear of the Lord better? Why? Number one, God promises salvation. Okay, Proverbs 14, verse 27, the fear of the Lord is what? A fountain of life. A fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. And we know as Christians that the living water that we can drink of for a thirsty soul is who? Jesus, because he offers that. But for any one of us to come to Christ, we must have a fear of God. To depart from evil, it's called repentance. To turn to Christ. To repent means to turn to God and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And over here we see the wisdom of God saying that if you fear the Lord, there is a fountain of life. It's not going to dry up. It's for a thirsty soul. And then we see, second, God promises satisfaction. Proverbs 19, verse 23. Look at this. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide what? Satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Satisfied. If you fear the Lord, it's satisfying. You know, the truth of the matter is, true satisfaction comes from the Lord. It's called the joy of the Lord. We had little devotions this morning with the children. We were talking about the woman at the well and how she was thirsty. And we said, happiness comes from something that happens. And when it stops happening, you go find something else to make you happy. And you see it in the kids. One toy to another toy. This toy to that toy. They're happy with it. That's why they need to find another toy, do another thing, and all that. They have to occupy themselves to make them happy. And that's how it is in the way of life, isn't it? In the world aspect, worldly pleasures and leisures, people are never satisfied. As a matter of fact, they go on the holiday, they come back more miserable. That's what happens. But when you have the Lord, man, you're going to have joy. Joy, especially when things take place in our life. When there is tough times, by the way, there are tough times. There are tough times. But if you fear the Lord, during those tough times, your heart can rejoice and be satisfied in God, your Savior. You drink from that living water. You know, the words of God will never be dry to you when you fear God. In tough times especially. There's no greater joy, brethren, than to know that you have peace with God. That's satisfying. And yet you're on the winning side. That's satisfying. The fear of God may be narrow, strict, but it's satisfying. Really, it is. I mean, you can pillow your head and know that you're on the winning side. John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's life eternal, that we may know him, the only true God. And knowing him and being known of him is the very thing that brings satisfaction. Number three, God promises to supply our needs. Psalm 34, verse 9, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. God will take every need, take care of every need. Every need, he'll take care of it. There will be no lacking. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. No lack when you fear God. God will take care of you. You do what's right. You fear God. You eschew evil. Obey his word. Trust him. He'll take care of you. Oh, fear the Lord, ye saints. There are temptations that cause us not to fear the Lord. We'll get there in a moment. There are some things that always try to hinder, if you will, the fear of the Lord in our lives. But he promised to supply our needs. Number four, God promises security and safety. Look at this, Proverbs 14, 26. In the fear of the Lord is a strong what? In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. And his children shall have a place of refuge, security, safety. I don't have to live a shameful life, brethren. I can live with confidence knowing that the Lord is on my side and I'm walking upright. Listen, I don't have to go to sleep with a warped, troubled conscience. If I live upright and fear God, eschew evil, I don't have to worry about police knocking on my door, the tax man knocking on my door, my neighbor knocking on my door. So if I'm living clean, by the way, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. If I live that way, I don't need to fear. I don't need to fear any accusations that come my way because I am walking in the fear of God. I eschew evil. I hate every evil way in the world, in others, and in my own life. I hate it. I despise it. I don't want anything to do with it. I trust the word of God. I obey it. If I live like that, there's strong confidence and there's safety. There's safety. I don't have to have a bothered conscience. I can sleep well at night. I can know that God is watching over me while I sleep. The best thing is to have the smile of God and the sunshine of God upon you. Oh, listen, my friends, I said to a brother just before coming into here, I'd rather be out of sorts with people, but I don't want to be out of sorts with God. Imagine that. I can't live like this. Well, that's why you've got to have the fear of the Lord. You've got to have the fear of the Lord. Making sure, by the way, if you have the fear of the Lord, you'll do all that you can to love people. Amen. And to treat people the way God will have you to treat them. As a matter of fact, if you go back to Leviticus, you'll see that the fear of the Lord doesn't do harm to their neighbor. It's in Leviticus. And we see that that's an aspect. Like I said, this it's a big subject. Covers a lot of areas. But we must have it in our own lives. It brings about security and safety. In closing, do you know what hinders the fear of the Lord? You know what's one of the hindrances? The fear of man. The fear of man. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 25, the fear of man bringeth a what? Snare. That's a trap. That's what a snare is. It's a trap. The fear of man bringeth a snare. It will trap you. Your heart will be gripped. You know, brethren, you know how many people on Facebook or whatever it is on social media, you know why they're trapped? Because they're always worried about what people think of them and what they comment and what they don't comment. And if they look at this or look at that, you know they're in bondage and enslaved to them? Yeah, it's a trap. Fearing the opinion of men. Now, we can respect the opinion of men. We ought never to be rude. We need to treat people the way we want to be treated. But what I'm trying to say in the context that I'm saying it in is that people fear man more than God. People fear the opinion of man more than the opinion of God, more than just book, more than the word of God. And it's a trap. It's a snare. You're snared down. I'm telling you right now, you'll live in bondage. You fear man more than God, you'll live in bondage. You'll be a captive. You'll be captivated. Yes. But what's going to be liberating? Well, the Bible says here, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But look at this. But whosoever putteth their trust in the Lord shall be what? Made safe. Is that what it says? Yeah, that's what it says. Made safe. That's a blessing, isn't it? Trusting the Lord is to have a healthy fear for Him. Amen? Because I'm telling you right now, if you fear man more than God, you're finished. This is one of the greatest hindrances. You know, the Proverb 31 woman, perfect example. Favor is what? Deceitful. She didn't want the favor of people, the applause of people, the recognition of people. Beauty is what? Vain. But one that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. What's the fear of the Lord? To hate what God hates, to have a fervent heart, to pursue and obey the word of God, to trust the Lord and not our own understanding. That's the fear of the Lord. And then we see, second of all, not only the fear of man hinders our fear for God, but the prosperity of the wicked. Have a look at Proverbs 23:17. It says, let not thy heart, what? Envy sinners. But be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Yep. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall be what? Cut off. You know what he's saying? Don't envy sinners. Fear God, because sinners don't fear God. In other words, they live carelessly, freely. They do what they want, when they want. They're not under the strict rule of the word of God. They're not being submissive under God's hand. They do what they want. They're free people. Don't envy that lifestyle, he says. Why? Because there's going to be a time where they're going to be cut off. You think they're going to continue to live like that? No. There's an end to rebellion. There's an end to those that don't want to fear the Lord. Don't envy sinners. Stay in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Continue to have a hatred for sin, a holy, healthy hatred for sin. Continue to have a fervent love for the Word of God. Continue to trust the Word of God. I think Asaph was a perfect example in this. Asaph, Psalm 70. Turn with me to Psalm 73. We'll wrap it up with this. Psalm 73. And look at verse 1. Asaph. Oh, Asaph. Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Look at verse 2. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Why? For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You know, if you continue to look, you see and understand what he was saying is that they get away with murder. They do what they want to do and they get away with it. Me? Every time I mess up, I get chastened for it. If you have a look, go home before you sleep tonight, have a read. This is his attitude. He says in verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Brethren, listen, you see people out there, and I'm talking even carnal, nominal Christians, you see them living carelessly, doing what they want, not submissive to the word of God, not having a holy hatred for sin. And you look at that and you think, oh, maybe I can do that. Maybe I am a bit too much. Maybe I am, you know, going overboard in these areas and I'm depriving myself. But then you get back in the Word of God and you think, no, I'm not enough. Yes. I'm not enough, because God wants us to be a people that are peculiar. You know, I don't think we can understand that until we understand what the fear of God is. And that comes as you continue to grow and obey and walk with God, and you continue to understand what the fear of God is. It's not going to come. You, in the beginning, it's like, yes, I want to fear God. But you won't understand it if you don't go after it. After His heart, after His word, after His will. And I guarantee you, you'll be a stranger and a pilgrim in this world. I guarantee you. You'll feel like something's wrong with you. This was what happened to Asaph. He envied the prosperity of the wicked. But notice verse 17. Look what he says this. Until I went into the what? Sanctuary of God. Then. What happened? Then understood I their end. There's going to be an end for all those that don't fear the Lord and walk in His ways. What did Solomon say? What's the whole conclusion of the matter? Fear God and keep His commandments. There's going to be an end. And the people that want to choose their own way and not respond to the voice of wisdom when it calls, there's going to be a cutoff time. That's what it says, by the way, if we look at Proverbs chapter 1. Let's go there quick. We have a bit of time. Proverbs chapter 1. Leave your finger there in Psalm 73. But have a look at Proverbs chapter 1. Look at verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, ye naive, ye will ye love simplicity, and ye the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. He says, turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye have refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regardeth. But ye have set a naught all my counsel. You would none of my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? For they hated knowledge and did not what? Choose the fear of the Lord. There's going to be a time where it's going to be too late for people. They want to start fearing God, but God says it's too late. Wisdom starts mocking them. It's almost saying this, I told you so. Wisdom, laughing at your calamity. You know, brethren, even for Christians, even for us, there are some things that we can't, you know, go back. We can't unscramble an egg. It's done. So we must be in the fear of the Lord all the days of our life and keep a good testimony. The psalmist goes back to say in Psalm 73 and verse 28, he says this, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord, that I might declare all thy works. It is good for me, Asaph says right at the end, it's good for me to draw nigh to God. It's good for me to, I have trust in the Lord. I'm going to declare all His works unashamed amongst a crooked, wicked generation. In a sense, you know what Asaph was saying? Better is little. I might not have what they have, and I may not get away with some things, but better is little with the fear of the Lord than to live a life of trouble, anguish, despair. You think people don't live like that? You don't think those millionaires live like that? You don't think those people that try to, you know, cheat their way into life, you don't think they have trouble? Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no rest for the wicked. And there's no rest, brethren, for your conscience when you do wrong. There's no rest for it. The only rest that you'll find is when you fear God. I'll tell you why. Because when you do wrong, you're going to say, forgive me. Forgive me. And that's clean. And that endures forever. And that's what God wants for every single one of us. You say, oh, little pauper, I'm not going to be fame. Or better is little, brethren. I'd rather have little than to be right with God, than have much and have trouble. And not have the blessing or face or favor of God upon my life. I can't live like that. I cannot and I will not. So what do? Be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. That's what you do. And don't envy the sinners that are living carelessly, doing what they want. You do what's biblically right. And that is the fear of the Lord. Let's pray.